The search for Brian Laundrie has now turned into a manhunt. It is a major development in this case that has left so many people puzzled and wanting more information. For the entire hour, we are digging into this mystery, searching for those answers, elusive to date, and playing your questions right here. We want to go back out now to correspondent Brian Enten outside the Laundrie family home with former FBI agent Jennifer Coffendoffer. Brian.
Yeah, we've got Jennifer with us right now. Thank you so much for being here and coming outside the home with us. I know you were a special agent for 3 decades, most of that time with the FBI. The first question I have for you, we know there is now this manhunt, this federal arrest warrant for bank fraud. What do you make of that? Is that just the start?
Well, interestingly, when crimes happen, they commit smaller crimes usually along the way. And in this case, he had unauthorized access of the device, which was basically using her credit card or her debit card, actually. And that is the crime that they were actually able to charge him with.
So did they basically use that crime, if he's alive, to get him in and then try to add more on? Is that sort of how this works?
Absolutely. The FBI has over 200 violations that they can use, that they have, you know, the ability to charge people with. And when you commit a crime of any of those, you're able to be brought in and charged.
Jennifer, they're searching for Brian right now. You worked a lot of these cases, and you've seen all this video. You know this case inside out. What do you make of Brian Laundrie, and do you think he's alive right now?
I think Brian Laundrie is alive. I think that is why a lawyer has been retained. I think that the family and Brian disappeared for 3 days. What did they do in that time? And I think that's an important information for the FBI and local and state law enforcement to be looking at, because I think those are going to lead to where Brian Laundrie is at.
And Jennifer, the parents, Brian Laundrie's parents, they're in the house 20 feet behind us right now. I've been watching them for a week. What do you make of them? And do you think they're worried? Do they have reason to be worried right now? Is the FBI going to come knocking on their door?
Well, let's look at the evidence that's out before us right now. He came home on the 1st alone after this trip. They have not cooperated, not provided information. They loaded up and left for 3 days. What did they do? Did they do what it took to conceal Brian's whereabouts right now? I think that is what the evidence is pointing to.
Thank you, Jennifer. I want to go back to Marnie, because it's not just my questions. We have a ton of viewer questions. Let's get to those, Marnie.
You're right, Brian. So these are questions from you at home that you have had about this case. Brian, this question is for you. I want to start with this one. This is from Sam, and this is about the Laundrie parents. Take a listen.
Hi, Brian. My question for you is this.
So I'll
At what
this
point
one,
in this investigation will the authorities be able to put more pressure on Chris and Roberta Laundrie to talk about what they know? Also, do we know if they're currently under surveillance?
It's a good question. As Jennifer just explained, there's obviously pressure on the Laundries. It's building. You asked about the surveillance. I've been out here. We see a lot of unmarked cars out here, Jennifer. A lot of people who look like they might be federal agents. So it's our assumption there's definitely surveillance going on.
Especially the fact that Brian potentially slipped out within their fingers as they were not watching the house a week ago. All right, Jennifer, this question is for you from Randy tonight on how police have handled this case so far.
Hey, I was just curious about how Brian was able to basically escape. Like, why in such a high profile case, with him being the only person of interest, did he not have like an FBI agent or like a local police officer watching his every move?
Well, if you look at the timeline, there was not a crime that was committed, really, until a body was found, and then it wasn't confirmed to be a homicide until 2 days after that, once the coroner's report was reached. So you cannot conduct surveillance and spend that type of a manpower when a crime hasn't even been committed yet.
A lot of people questioning the police work tonight. This question is from Corey, and Brian, this one is for you about the search currently happening at the reserve.
The Carlton Reserve website states that they've had trail cams since 2006 and that 10 are currently operational. I'm just wondering if there's been any discussion with law enforcement about the utility or the existence of these trail cams.
Another really good question. We know the trail cams are out there. What was so interesting yesterday when we were at the reserve, this massive Verizon wireless truck showed up, went into the reserve with a satellite dish. Many people are wondering, are they setting up more Wi-Fi trail cams in the reserve that need the Wi-Fi and the cell service that doesn't exist out there? So for sure, there are definitely trail cams.
And what they provide is yet to be seen. Jennifer, this question comes from Gil, also on the search at the reserve tonight. Take a listen.
Is there any reason the FBI isn't resuming the search at night with infrared technology looking for bodies of heat?
Well, first of all, I think that's making the assumption that that is not happening. We don't know if the drones and so forth that they're using, are they actually using those sophisticated techniques right now? Secondly, let's consider where the initial evidence came from that Brian was at this reserve. It came from Brian. He passed it on to his family. His family then passed it on to law enforcement, and they had to go and do their due diligence at following up on that, but they're also considering where the source of that information was from. And remember, they're not just conducting that investigation. They are simultaneously going down all the other avenues to help get them to Brian.
A question now for you, Brian, from Kelsey. This is on the evidence collected at the laundry home in the last week.
Hey, Brian, my name is Kelsey. I'm from Port Orange, Florida. My question for you today is the search that was conducted at the laundry family residence on Monday, September 20th. When should we be expecting to hear what, if anything, came of that search? I know it was a lot of digital hard drives, et cetera, that they were looking into, lots of boxes of evidence. Is there any timeline on if or when they will release that information to the public?
So she mentioned that digital hard drive. Let me clarify. That actually came from Gabby's van. We know they're going through that now. As for all of the boxes of evidence, they came right through this garage that you see behind us right here. Box after box after box. I'm sure they're going through it now. Jennifer would probably have a better idea. I mean, it takes them quite some time, I'm sure.
Yeah, they are pouring through all of that evidence with a fine-tooth comb. They're looking for indicia of a crime. They're looking for DNA evidence. They're looking for any evidence that could point to what happened to Gabby.
A complicated case. Brian Enten and Jennifer Coffendoffer, thank you both for answering some of those viewer questions tonight. And this investigation ongoing. If you have any information that could help solve this case, call the number on your screen. This is the FBI hotline, 1-800-CALL-FBI.